TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness.
Live from the New School in New York City, day two of the People's Climate Week launch. On September 17, 2023, over 75,000 joined the New York City March to End Fossil Fuels, making it the largest demonstration pressuring President Biden to stop supporting the fossil fuel industry. The march took place ahead of the UN Climate Ambition Summit. That was a first-of-its-kind meeting hosted by the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. He is asking heads of state to bring concrete steps to keep fossil fuels in the ground when they come to Dubai in December for the upcoming COP28, the Conference of Parties. The Indigenous Environmental Network brought members and friends to New York City to join the march and voice their opposition to false climate solutions. The IEN is a coalition of indigenous and grassroots environmental justice activists, primarily based in the United States. Group members have represented indigenous peoples' concerns at international events, such as the UN climate conferences. The IEN brought members and coalition partners from Alaska to Pakistan, the Pacific Islands, and the Americas to New York City for the March to End Fossil Fuels. They also organized press conferences and teach-ins. And you are about to hear voices from the lively interactive event on Tuesday, September 19. The IEN has a long-term friendly relationship with the New School, and they hosted the Climate Week launch in their beautiful auditorium. Here's Candy White from the IEN bringing her co-MCs on stage.
And at this time, I have the privilege of turning it over to my beautiful, wonderful, amazing, awesome co-MCs who are going to take over this evening. And I'm going to have them introduce themselves, Benishi, Albert, and Al. Please come on out and introduce yourselves. Give it up, everybody. Give it up.
My name is Benishi Albert. I'm Yuchi and Anishinaabe. I come to you from the homelands of the Muskogee and Zoyaha relocated territories outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I'm one of the co-directors of the Climate Justice Alliance.
Mainit na pagbati sa inyong lahat, mga kaibigan at mga kasama. Warm greetings, everyone. My name is Al Cabayas, and I am the Deputy Director of Drum Desi's Rising Up and Moving.
So Al and I are going to be your co-MCs for the evening. We're going to hear from lots of exciting people who are coming from frontline communities to share some insights of where they're going to come from, and we're hoping it's going to inspire lots of deep conversations that are going to happen a little bit later. If you were here yesterday or last night, things might move a little bit quicker than we were, but we're going to keep this energy up and try to keep going because there's lots to share and lots of things that we want to like start digging in and strategizing with each other. So I want to introduce our first two speakers. I'm going to invite them to come up together. And so both Crystal Cavalier and Juan Mencias. And you can introduce yourselves and share what you're going to.
You want to go first?
No, you go ahead.
Okay.
Go first.
Listen, y'all, I'm gonna just go ahead and tell you, I was calm and then I went on like 100 and then I backed down. I don't know if you know, my husband got arrested. That man over there, that one. We were at doing an action at Bank of America today talking about divesting from the pipeline. So we live 3 miles from the Mountain Valley Pipeline Southgate extension. It's a proposed pipeline that's coming through our community, right? Like Benishi was saying earlier, we live in North Carolina. We're first contact tribes, and most of our tribes were decimated. We banded together, and then we had to be acculturated into the mainstream government, right? So we could survive, so I could be here today with you guys. But we really need your help in fighting the Mountain Valley Pipeline. So you guys know, back in June, the debt ceiling bill, that imaginary thing that they came up and said the sky is falling if we don't pass it, and they pass it. But in that provision, they had a section specially called the Mountain Valley Pipeline, and they would not pass it because, you know, if you didn't pass it, the United States was run out of money. That's not really true. I worked for the government. That's not true at all. But they pushed that narrative, and they kind of stonewalled most of the senators and House of Representatives into doing that. Joe Manchin was the lead on that. And President Biden signed it into law. So now they have taken out the NEPA policy process. You know, they did permitting reform, which really tied a lot of our hands. And, you know, they did some really unscrupulous things, like the separation of powers, right? Like, how can you limit a judicial power when we are fighting this pipeline in courts? And so somehow they did it. And so we still have lawsuits against them, but all we have to do is last one more day longer than the pipelines. And that is what we're doing right now. On the main line, which is coming through our sacred burial mounds, they've dug up many of our ancestors, called them rock piles. They're going through some of the steepest terrain, up through the Appalachian Mountains and down. And if you haven't come through West Virginia and Virginia, you really can't get the brevity of it unless you stop and see it. It's just really, it's really dangerous. Even one of the pipeline workers, when I was visiting one of my friends, we overheard him say, "I can't even hardly stand up on this mountain. I can't believe they're digging through this." This is a pipeline workers. In my territory, we've been fighting the MVP Southgate extension for 5, and we've defeated them 3 times. And we hope to keep defeating them. This is a pipeline to nowhere. And to tell you the truth, we are fighting against politicians. They want to change the laws. They do these things because they see how we're bringing our communities together. We are really uniting our communities, Black, brown, white, you name it. We're bringing our communities together. But I really need you guys' help. I really need you guys to come out. If you see MVP, just know that it's Crystal and Jason and Power and 7 Directions of Service. We're fighting this, but we really need you guys to keep this in the media. We need you to talk to your politicians, talk to whoever. You know what? If you want to come out and visit us, we'll host you at our house. Right, Jason? Yeah, we'll host you at our house, and we'll give you the toxic tour so you can see this pipeline. And let me tell you, they were waiting for us the last time we gave one a couple weeks ago. The pipeline security was out there waiting for us because they knew what we were doing. We brought the totem pole, the Leonard Peltier totem pole, through the pipeline to pray for it because we do not want this pipeline in our communities. It's doing a lot of health effects. There's already 2 compressor stations. We defeated the one where the Mountain Valley was trying to connect to it. We defeated that one, but there's already 2 more compressor stations, and they're still steadily laying pipe in the ground. And what we really have to do is just educate our communities because, again, these are Black and Indigenous communities who banded together during the Jim Crow and slavery times to survive. And so Jason and I, what we're doing with our team is we're educating people about the health effects, what it means to be Indigenous, bringing your culture back, teaching the language, because like Benicia said, we lost our language. And so I'm gonna give you a traditional greeting, which I've been learning. Mikitamin chin kiohe, nahon pipi say, mima crystal, mima okanichi saponi, watiwa. So I learned that in the last 3 years. And so I'm really proud of that. Our children are learning that. Even my husband is learning it. So with that, I'm gonna say alewa, that means goodbye, and bilahuk, which means thank you. Over to you.
Het is apple maar utepelig. De kalma je nou is kiepanik. Nina pelig. Nina nawazel. Nina ja una kakio. I greet you in my language and I say, you are good people. And I think we need to say that to each other right now, real loud. We are good people. And basically because a lot of times we get caught up in thinking that we're not doing what needs to be done or we're losing. And I think that just the fact that we're here and being able to present some of the things that are happening back home to our people is a way of of speaking out for those ancestors that haven't been able to speak out for a long time, and for the future generation that hopefully will be there, you know, to be doing the same thing that we're doing, not this, but doing our life ways, doing what they call quote unquote cultural ways, but to me, they're life ways. We just live them. It's just the way we do things. And I think it's funny because about a year ago, they found this little bear been run over on I-10, and the headline on it said, Mexican bear found dead on I-10. And I'm going, are they checking papers on the bears now too? So that's the mentality of colonialism, is to divide us and to segment us and to make us not realize that we're able to work together. Even if you don't like me, that's fine. You know, the thing is that we got to work toward this big project that's got to be taken care of. You know, we might like each other afterwards. I don't know. You know, the thing is, that's the whole thing that's happening here right now with these projects. We've got two pipelines that we have to worry about. One of them is called the Rio Bravo Pipeline, which is being backed up by Enbridge. And the other one is called the Saguaro Pipeline. And both of them are one, because it's Enbridge, we've bought land trying to block that place. So we have our own property under their common law, property law. So we've got property now that we can say, now I can mess with your eminent domain too. And the thing is that that's one way of doing things that we're trying to do, is to stand up and say, you ain't going anywhere. You're just going to have to get rid of me somehow, because I ain't going to your jail. And as simple as that, we have to understand who our accomplices are and who are just the allies who like to get paid. And the thing that we're doing right now is trying to make sure that we have the accomplices on hand to be able to take the same risks as anybody else, just like we do when we get arrested. And those things are important for us to understand. And that's why you have to look at each other and say, we are good people. Say it again.
We are good people.
And that's part of understanding that we're trying to save something that is important to us. We're not saviors. We're not Messiah complex people. We're just trying to hold on to it and protect it as much as we can. I always tell them, I'm not a protester, I'm not an activist, I am a protector. I am protecting that which is left. And we have the elements, you know, all four of them. And that fifth one is, of course, the environment. And we don't recognize that fifth element is important, just to be able to understand it. And as a Native person with raised up in these ways, to understand that today is a sacred day for us, for at least for my people, because 2 days it'll be the equinox. And that's important to us. And do you know anybody taking off and going on a holiday on the equinox? No, right? But they do take off their Thanksgiving Day and their Christmas Day, or whatever they want to call it, Price Day. And I think we just need to understand that we have to be able to be strong about what we're doing here. And just remember, we are the good people, and we have to be able to continue bringing that good out into the world, and also to be able to describe what's happening with the pipelines, with SpaceX, who is going on to space and dropping their trash out there too. They don't have an IES, and IES, space doesn't have any regulatory commissions. So now they're going out there and doing that kind of stuff on our sacred ground. That's where they're shooting their rockets off from. So I think that we need to recognize the fact that we're going to look at LNGs now on the Pacific side of the ocean too, with a Saguaro pipeline going through there. And that's going to go, and it's going to touch into building LNGs on that side. We've got two LNGs that we have to worry about. One is the Rio Grande. The other one is Texas LNG. And both of them right now are sitting. They were supposed to be open 2017. Here we are right now, and they're still not open, but they started clearing ground. So, I mean, anything's a win, and we have to be able to say, yes, we have been able to hold on for that long, and we're going to hold on for longer. Thank you.
All right, fam. Tonight, we are inviting you to be one and amplify the voices of frontline struggles. I'm going to pass it back to my kasama, Bineshi, here to introduce our next couple speakers.
So I want to thank Crystal and Juan, who just shared some important stories for us and some important strategies around extraction, pipelines, and what it's doing to our communities. So I hope y'all are taking notes because there's going to be a quiz later. There's prizes. No, I'm just kidding. But take notes for sure. But there's lots of things to connect on, and I hope you're connecting these stories to what's happening in your own communities. Bernal and Paganga, I'm going to say their last name, Pungawovi. I didn't do it right. Pungawiwi.
Pangawi.
Pungawi. There. But thank you for patience. She's going to keep teaching me how to say that. So let's welcome them to the mic.
I feel like I'm going to be really loud because I'm really short, and that's like how I make up for stuff, right? Kuyakumsi. So Kuyakumsi means welcome, and it kind of has the same root word as Kuyakumkin. And Kuyakumkin means I'm glad for you, I'm happy for you. And to you I say Kuyakumkin, I'm so glad that you're here today to hear from our communities and to strategize with us. So if you were here yesterday, you know that I come from a land with a history of peoples who have always had things done to us, on us, and for us without our permissions. Experimenting and poisoning by the military and government, we live in a cancer cluster and are considered some of the most polluted people in the world in the Arctic. And now the testing of geoengineering is being attempted by the academic institutions and private industry, driven and backed by billionaires and fossil fuel interests. Arctic Ice Project started by Leslie Fields, who has worked for decades for Chevron and HP, has spread football fields worth of unnatural hazardous silica over the tundra for multiple seasons without our knowledge or consent. They plan to spread this over 100,000 square kilometers of the Arctic ice, and they claim this will help thicken the ice. We stood up and said no, and now they're finding other indigenous communities to continue this experimentation, including in Greenland and India. Scopex of Harvard University attempted to begin testing stratospheric aerosol injection, where sulfur dioxide will be sprayed into the stratosphere to block out the sun. They're pushing experiments on our Sami relatives, and they didn't know anything about it. So when we told them, and they said that it could devastate their people and their reindeer culture, they rise up to stop this experiment. Right now, off the coast of Alaska, a man named Russ George is attempting to dump tons of iron ore into the ocean, otherwise known as ocean fertilization. The last time this was done in 2012, the amount of people who were poisoned due to toxic algal blooms in my homelands of the subarctic increased dramatically in 2013. To geoengineering scams, we say no. And now they're talking about carbon capture and sequestration. It's being funded and incentivized by the government, billions of public funds subsidizing fossil fuel interests. And in Alaska, they are talking about making business deals with China, offering our land to sequester their carbon for profit. We know that carbon capture is not safe, nor is it effective. But even if it was, there's not even enough land in the world to use it at scale. But they will try and watch as they try, cutting into the biodiversity that our ancestors have fought and died to protect since 1492. As Indigenous peoples, we know that large-scale manipulation of the earth is arrogant and not without consequence. We have seen this happening since the Industrial Revolution, and it's called the burning of fossil fuels and mining. You cannot get out of a mess by doing the same thing in a different way. Or as my uncles would say, if you want to get out of a hole, stop digging. BIPOC communities and the Global South are treated as sacrifice zones for extractive industry, and that legacy is continued now as they test their greenwash techno fixes on our bodies, lands, waters, soil, and air. Geoengineering is not a necessary evil, as some of its pushers would try to convince you. Geoengineering is the last effort of a capitalistic extraction-based economy. If the corporations are funding efforts to consider blocking out the sun, dumping poison onto our ice, or treating our lands as storage facilities for sacrifice zones, that is an indication to me of desperation. They know that an extractive-based existence is not sustainable, and they are desperately clinging on to whatever it is they can grasp. So hold the line. Do not give in to fear-mongering and manipulation. We do not need to change Mother Earth anymore. We need to change how we are in relationship to her, to Father Sky, and to one another, and we need to keep fossil fuels in the ground.
Damn. Hinomopu, Hinomankima Hidimba. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Julia Bernal. I am from Sandia Pueblo. Where my Pueblo people at? And I'm also Yuchi. Where my Yuchi people at? Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to come and speak to you all. Appreciate the energy. I know that this week has been a lot, right? A lot of you have traveled really, really far. I'm from New Mexico, and it's not just me from New Mexico here. We brought 37 folks from New Mexico to be here in New York for Climate Week. So while I'm representing Pueblo Action Alliance, we have Indigenous Lifeways here. We have Dene Care. We have Earth Care. We have Youth United for Climate Crisis Action. We have the New Mexico No Fossil Solutions Coalition. We have the Greater Chaco Coalition. We even had representation from the Permian Basin Coalition. All New Mexico and Indigenous-led organizations who have mobilized a statewide climate justice movement to end extraction in New Mexico, so-called New Mexico. The ancestral lands of the Pueblo, Diné, Apache, and Ute people, whose land has been under attack for generations. For those of you that don't really know too much about the Southwest, other than our beautiful mountains and our semi-arid landscapes, is that it was deemed an energy sacrifice zone under the Nixon administration. Boo, right? Do you know what an energy sacrifice zone is? No? Well, I'm gonna tell you. During that administration, there were specific geographies that had an abundance of natural resources. I'm talking specifically about fossil fuels, uranium, other types of hard rock minerals that are on indigenous ancestral territories, being deemed as zones for the production of domestic natural resources, fossil fuel energies. We are communities that are representative here. We're a part of that trade-off community where they felt it was necessary to trade our lives, our people's lives, for the benefit of the United States colony. Boo. Boo. That legacy is still continuing to this day. We are experiencing so much death and sickness in our communities that we do not consent to. We have not consented to this extractive economy in New Mexico, and we came here to New York to bring that message with us. Yeah. But there's more, because now we're in a moment where there is demand for climate adaptation and mitigation strategies. What is the just transition going to look like for us? Well, it's being touted by false solutions, greenwashing mechanisms, market-based mechanisms. We cannot solve the climate crisis the same way that caused it. And that is exactly what they are continuing to do. So we have been a part of a coalition, the New Mexico No Fossil Solutions Coalition, doing research on the different types of false solutions that are coming into our territories. hydrogen being one of them. I want everybody to leave this room saying that hydrogen of any color is a false solution. Of any color. Because the means of production for hydrogen is not clean. It will continue fossil fuels. It will exacerbate the climate by co-opting real energy solutions like wind and solar. Why are we going to use wind and solar to create another form of energy when we could just be using that energy from the source? It is because the hydrogen economy is another attempt of globalization. The entire international capitalist market is touting hydrogen as the just transition. And they are going to go to your communities, like they're coming to our communities, and they're going to say that hydrogen is the just transition. You have to say, no, it is not. That is not our future. We do not consent to that future either. We need to embrace community-based solutions. Community-based solutions. We need to invest in wind and solar, proven technologies, not hydrogen. Hydrogen is extremely dangerous, and it encompasses all forms of extractivism. There will be blue hydrogen, which uses carbon capture sequestration. There will be pink hydrogen that uses nuclear energy. There is gray hydrogen that uses methane to produce hydrogen. The one thing I want you all to leave with today is that hydrogen is not a clean energy. It is not a real climate solution. And the solutions that you all should be supporting are from the frontline folks that you guys are all meeting here today. Thank you. Also, we have materials. Please go check out our table. Take zines, take the Hoodwink zines. All of that information comes from the movement. So.
Thank you. Thank you, Paganga and Julia. And for those of y'all taking notes, I don't know if you heard that theme. It's like false solutions, the like shaky, shoddy science that people are trying to push down our throats. That's what we're sharing here and how they're trying to sell that to our communities, not for solution, but for profit. And we have to stand against that. So I want to thank this crew of folks for your words. Ask questions. You might be in a group with them. Thank you all.
That was Bineshi Albert asking us to find and contact Panganga Punguvihi, IEN Geoengineering Organizer. And also look for Julia Bernal from the Pueblo Action Alliance. You can find their Facebook page under Pueblo Action Alliance. Come back for more lively and inspiring comments from the almost five-hour-long session, live from the New School in New York City, day two of the People's Climate Week launch. Find the Indigenous Environmental Network at ienearth.org. That's ienearth.org. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Look at the newest programs or the podcast page. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening.